Good day, everyone. It is March 4th, 2024, and what do we know? Well, it looks like Brian Koberger is now going to the big bus defense. Lori Vallow checks into Arizona with all her discovery from Idaho. How do you prove the elements of identity with identical twins? With their own words, of course. We got a nurse charged with some serious conduct, and a paramedic in the Elijah McClain case gets 5 years in prison, and then our dumb criminal of the day. Let's talk about it.
Hi, lawyer. Lawyer. Lawyer.
Good day, everyone. You know the drill. Subscribe if you haven't. Like if you do. Leave me a comment below. Hit that little bell for notifications. And remember, you can listen to us anytime on any of your favorite podcasting apps. All right, a couple of things before we get to the docket. First, well, let me just show you the trials and tribulations as it relates to being a trial attorney, a criminal defense attorney. Supposed to start a 3-week trial today. Originally, it was supposed to start today. Then the court moved it up and then moved it back to start tomorrow because, well, the homicide trial that was going last week isn't over yet. So we adjust accordingly. So we're able to bring you a show today. But remember, over the next couple of weeks, we're going to be playing it by ear. We'll see how everything works out. All right, let's go ahead and open the record. And first on the docket, Brian Koberger. All right, the big bus defense. That's what I refer to it as affectionately in our office. Sometimes when people ask, what is your defense? Well, it's the big bus defense. Our goal is, or we hope that all the witnesses get hit by a big bus because that's the only shot that we have. All right. Delay, delay, delay until everyone forgets or dies. That's the big bus defense. And that appears to be what the tactic is for Brian Koberger as his attorneys. Now, as you may recall, we talked about it. It's like, hey, the only way I thought Koberger was going to have a real shot at this particular case early on was if he had gone to trial within the 6 months. But that's where he had to be real honest with his attorneys. And obviously, they blinked. And they see Brian Koberger blinked, his attorneys blinked when they said, fine, we'll waive speedy trial. And now, of course, they want to drag the case out to 2025. So do you think the prosecution would have been able to proceed almost 2 years ago? Doubt it. Doubt it completely. And probably the defense wouldn't have had anything, but the prosecution wouldn't have been ready to go either. So now they've switched tactics. Delay, delay, delay. Because remember, we were supposed to have a trial the end of 2022. And then that can move to October of 2023. And then guess what? Now we're talking summer of 2025, maybe June of 2025. And the defense is saying, well, we're not sure that's even going to work because it is a death penalty case. So, and as you know, there's only one eyewitness to the student's murders, the housemate who overheard sounds of the struggle and came allegedly face to face with the masked intruder with big bushy eyebrows the night that the four undergrad students were stabbed to death there in Idaho. Now, obviously, people's memory does not get better as time goes on. And the defense will use that to exploit what was ever said based upon the interview with the police that the housemate made and any modification whatsoever as to her description down the road. Like I said, people's memories don't get better as time goes on. And the witnesses, remember, are not going to be, you know, taking a stroll down memory lane. The house has been destroyed. There's photos that the prosecution can prepare their witness with, but there's going to be little details that the defense is going to be thinking about and identifying that she's going to say, I don't recall. Oh, but the only thing you do recall is these bushy eyebrows. We'll have to wait and see. So, like I said, Koberger has bought some time. They're working on their alibi story, trying to get all their digital evidence to somehow coincide with, hey, he was just out driving around, when in theory, like I said, they're hoping for the big bus defense. Now, remember, the judge is in a tough spot because he has to give Brian Koberger super due process because it is a death penalty case. What do I mean by super due process? If this was just a good old fashioned quadruple homicide, this case would be a trial by now. But when you're talking about the ultimate punishment, the defense needs time to prepare their mitigation case. And that takes time to go back and talk with everybody, get records, school records, see if he was dropped on his head as a child, he had issues, what's there to consult with experts. It takes a long time to do that. And that helps to go to the overall big bus defense. Long delays have a negative impact on witnesses. They're going to testify against the defense. Witnesses forget, even die, depending on how much time between the charges and trial. And remember, when these witnesses fade or they disappear, so does their evidence. And if you know someone is ill, you can always do something to preserve their testimony. It's like take a deposition of that particular witness if you believe that they're terminally ill. But let's face it, most of the time that doesn't happen. You just assume that they're going to have to show up for trial and nobody gets sick or passes away. And that is what the prosecution has to deal with. And we've also talked about this as well. It's not just the lay witnesses that the prosecution has to worry about. Police officers, they change jobs, they move, they relocate, they retire, or they pass away. All of those things. It means sometimes the work may have to be recreated if it can. So this long delay, you may not like it, but it works in the favor of Brian Koberger. I still would have gone with the let's go to trial now defense, but they blinked. Apparently, Mr. Koberger is not as brave as he thinks he is, because if he was, he would have just gone to trial. And now it's just a waiting game. It's just a waiting game. Next on the docket, Lori Vallow. Check out this new body cam footage. Shows Lori Vallow giving up a laptop and other materials when she's checking into the Maricopa County detention facility there. As you recall, she has been extradited to Arizona after being convicted and sentenced to life in prison in Idaho for the July of 2023 deaths of two of her children and her husband, Chad DeBell's first wife. As you can see on the video, the deputy is explaining, hey, what's in the contents of the black box? And that why would she bring it? It's her for property. And they're going to say, hey, we're going to keep it in safekeeping. But apparently those rules don't allow you to have a laptop here, along with two flash drives and several notebooks. So it is also curious that the label says the laptop reads the property of Means Law Office. Remember, Mr. Means, Mark Means, the guy that got disqualified from the case early on for ethical conflicts. Yep. He apparently got her a laptop early on, probably when she had money, I guess. But needless to say, he's not asking for it back. Now, Vallow was allowed to keep several of the paper materials before she was taken to her cell. She's currently set to go to trial August 1st. Next on the docket, how do you prove identification with identical twins? Through their own words, that's how. So two identical twins from Minnesota are accused of swapping places after one of them allegedly hit a buggy in an Amish horse and carry buggage, an Amish horse-drawn carriage that killed two children. Now, police spent several months trying to figure out what was going on, and although charges have been filed, well, the evidence may not be as strong as the prosecution believes. So prosecutors allege that Samantha Jo Peterson was behind the wheel on September 25th of 2023, when a car slammed into a horse-drawn carriage, killing two children and injuring their two siblings. It was not her identical twin sister, Sarah Beth Peterson, who took responsibility at the scene, saying that she was the driver. Now, police said the crash killed 7-year-old Wilma Miller and 11-year-old Irma Miller and sent two of their siblings to the hospital. Now, Samantha Peterson was allegedly driving under an expired driver's license and no insurance for the Toyota 4Runner that was involved in the crash. Now, Sheriff John DeGeorge has stated that dozens of the charges have been filed against the sisters after a lengthy investigation where they found suspicious inconsistencies that later led to the unraveling of the sisters' little story. Now, Sarah was on scene a short time before the first deputy arrived, and that allowed them to come up with this story where Sarah would take responsibility for the crash and basically misled the investigation. When the police arrived, she told them she was the driver and that she hit the buggy. The sister allegedly pulled off the old changeup because Samantha Peterson was high on drugs at the time of the crash and was scared that she would go to prison. Now, Sarah had recently been in prison, and the police believe that she may have felt that she owed her sister a favor for basically taking the case of killing the two kids. Now, the officers allegedly found a couple of burnt marijuana blunts and a tin can of pot in the vehicle upon their investigation and found evidence that she was also, well, possibly using methamphetamine. Now, the officer left his recorder running and walked away during the investigation and has also allegedly recorded Samantha Peterson telling her sister, "I think one of the guys is on to me, but I really don't care. There's no way they would ever know the difference between the two of us. They can't tell." So the detectives allegedly found this evidence in a text exchange as well between Samantha Peterson and someone investigators have identified as DH that said, in part, "I don't think you realize that I did that. I hit that Amish buggy and killed two people. Made Sarah come there and take the fall for it so I wouldn't go to prison." Well, the detectives also allegedly found evidence the suspects did searches on her phone for phrases that included, "What happens if you get in a car accident with an Amish buggy and kill two people?" She had a prior record of charges, including at least two prior driving while abilities impaired and giving false information to a law enforcement officer. Well, now she's facing 21 counts, including vehicular homicide, DWI, and leaving the scene of the accident. She's due back in court on March 25th. So Sarah Peterson is due in court on April 1st on 16 felony charges, including aiding and abetting and trying to take responsibility for a crime. Yes, ladies and gentlemen, gets super interesting, right? There's only a couple of witnesses out there. And who's really to say what happened? You got the old switcheroo, the twins, even if there's like DNA, it's going to be the same, right? They're identical twins. Wow. Gets really interesting. And what do we say here on Crime Talk all the time? It's always the defendant's own words that come back and get them in the end, just like these two sisters did. Next on the docket, a nurse could be in some serious trouble. A California nurse has been arrested and charged with sexually assaulting an unconscious patient back in January, and now the police believe there may be more victims. Jacob Daniel Hartman is charged with several sexual assault counts, including sexual battery on an unconscious person. He's already out of jail because he posted a $55,000 bond. Now, the police allege that the incidents occurred at the Kaiser Permanente Hospital in Riverside, California, and they are asking for your help. If you have any more information, obviously we give everyone the presumption of innocence, but if this guy looks familiar and he was your nurse and maybe there's something you just couldn't describe, you know, maybe want to talk to the police officers. Next, the paramedic in the Elijah McClain case gets 5 years in prison. That's right. A paramedic was sentenced Friday to 5 years in prison on a rare prosecution of medical responders following the death of Elijah McClain. He's the young black man whose name became part of the whole social justice thing back in 2020. Now, as you may recall, Elijah McClain was stopped by police after a 911 caller reported that he looked suspicious walking down the street, waving his arms and wearing a face mask. On August 24th of 2019, in Aurora, Colorado, McClain, who had been listening to music with earbuds, seemed caught off guard when the officers put their hands on him within a few seconds of approaching him. That began a struggle, including a neck hold and a restraint that lasted about 20 minutes before McClain was injected with 500 milligrams of ketamine. He ultimately suffered cardiac arrest on the way to the hospital and was taken off life support 3 days later. Now, originally, the district attorney did not prosecute this case. The attorney general got involved and went forward with the case after a grand jury indicted several officers as well as several paramedics. Now, experts testified that the sedative ultimately killed Elijah McClain, who was already weakened from struggling to breathe while being pinned down after inhaling vomit into his lung during the police struggle. Peter Sinanek and a fellow paramedic were convicted in December of criminally negligent homicide for injecting McClain with ketamine, obviously quite the sedative that ultimately wound up taking the life. Now, Sinanek also was convicted of more serious charge of second-degree assault for giving a drug without consent or legitimate medical purpose. The judge in this case, by a judge by the name of Mark Warner, really good judge, been on the bench a long time, former prosecutor, former police officer. Now, Judge Warner, who could have sentenced the paramedic up to 16 years in prison, but the five being mandatory is the mandatory minimum, was given a five-year sentence. The second convicted paramedic, Jeremy Cooper, is scheduled to be sentenced in April. Randy Rodema was convicted of criminally negligent homicide. He was a police officer, and he was sentenced to 14 months in jail back in January. Two other officers were indicted. They were acquitted after a two-week-long jury trial. And then finally, our dumb criminal of the day. The shocking part about it, he's not from Florida. Nope, today he's from Nebraska. And this Nebraska man went into a Quick Shop convenience store and demanded money. He had a Hostess cinnamon roll box in his right hand. Well, and fearing that the container concealed a handgun and not individually wrapped frosted pastries, the female clerk handed over cash, according to the Lincoln Police Department. The police responded to the incident. They identified Isaiah Bartu of Lincoln, Nebraska, as the possible suspect. While speaking with Mr. Bartu, he attempted to flee on foot and was quickly detained. And of course, once he's detained, what do you got to do? You got to search the guy. What did they find? 4.1 grams of methamphetamine and a handgun and some undisclosed amount of cash. He was arrested on multiple felony counts, including robbery, possession of controlled substance, and use of a deadly weapon in the commission of a felony. Now, Mr. Bartu is locked up and is waiting an arraignment for the alleged heist. Obviously, we'll give him that presumption of innocence. But Mr. Bartu, the gun, bad. And don't put the gun tattoo on your arm as well. Batten that he's a prohibited person, that he can't possess the guns. Anyway, Mr. Bartu was arrested back in 2020 for striking a liquor store employee in the head with a bottle of Jack Daniels during a robbery, which netted him and his two accomplices two bottles of booze. So a couple years ago, two bottles of booze. This year, some Hostess pastries and a few bucks. Mr. Bartu, you are a dumb criminal of the day, and it seems like you're also a high repetitious learner. So maybe you're just dumb. All right, that's all we have for today, ladies and gentlemen. Hope you enjoy the show. Be patient. Obviously, we have lots of trials going on this time, and I'll be in trial myself, but we'll do my best to bring you a show in the evening. It's just going to depend on what's coming up with the trial. So thanks for watching. We'll see you next time. And remember, that's right, the Constitution matters.